This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good afternoon and welcome to Pink Popcorn, the movie review show that tries to find a little bit of homo in every film. A big thank you for Pete Dillon from Cravings. Man, he manages to pack a lot into an hour. And we're going to try and do the same with our show today. I'm Kylie Eddy and I'm joined in the studio today by Conrad Brown.
Thanks for having me, Popcorners.
I'm really excited that you're here. Unfortunately, guess where Paul Tonter is?
I'm assuming some amazing music festival somewhere. Yes. Or film festival.
He's just got a festival schedule that's hard to believe.
As you do.
So I've managed to rope you in, and one of the reasons why I have is because you are one of the few people that I know that voluntarily goes and sees several films a week.
I try to. At least one or two.
At least one.
Yeah.
And normally more than that.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a chore for me, Kylie.
It's not? You love it.
And talking about them is even better.
I know. Isn't it great?
Yes.
I feel very privileged that we get to bang on about movies.
Yep.
Let everyone know our opinions. Though, we would like you to also contribute. If
Please.
You have seen a film recently that you would like to let us know, maybe it's missed our radar or maybe it's one of the ones we'll be talking about today. That being said, what's on the show today?
So, we've got reviewing three films. The new Russell Crowe movie, Next 3 Days.
Yes.
And then you've been to see Tamara Drew.
I have.
Hung indeed. Out with Tamara.
Yes.
And then we're looking at the documentary Bear Nation.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. There's heaps to talk about. If you'd like to let us know what you've been up to movie-wise, please feel free to SMS us on 02... Oh, I can't get the number right. 0427-JOY-949. You're making me nervous, Conrad.
Really?
Because I'm meant to know all the numbers off by heart, don't you think?
You're doing fine.
Thank you.
Would you like me to do the email address?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So then you can email us at onair@joy.org.au.
And also, we are on Facebook, so please search for Pink Popcorn. I can't even say Pink Popcorn.
You did it very well.
Pink Popcorn. And it is quite hard to say, actually.
It is.
If you try saying that fast three times.
P's in there.
Yeah, I dare you.
Yeah.
Then you can also join us on Facebook as well. We'd like to have your comments there. So let's get stuck into some music before we talk about films. This first song we're after is The Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine. You're on Pink Popcorn with Conrad and Kylie on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Conrad on Joy 94.9. And the first film that we're reviewing is The Next 3 Days. Russell Crowe plays John Brennan, whose wife is in jail for a murder she says she didn't commit. After struggling to keep their family together and realising his wife's deteriorating condition, John decides to make a daring attempt to help her break out of prison. So, Conrad, we actually went and saw this together at a screening, and
can I put it in context for people too? This was the third film that Kylie and I had seen together. So the two films before this was Step Up 3D and Burlesque. So the next 3 days with
was a departure.
With the Russell Crowe was, as I was saying to you, walking up the stairs, felt like we were going to an art house film together. I was like, if there's any subtitles, we can get very excited. We can actually now tell people. I mean, I've just told everyone.
Yes, that's right. Well, yeah. I mean, you are my go-to guy when there's a dance film.
Yeah, bring it on.
We do have that in common. Yes. We are experts in the subgenre of dance.
So this and 3D dance.
In particular. Yeah. Yeah. You can never get enough of that.
Too true.
So this would have to be as far away removed from that as possible.
Yeah, and it's I don't know what you thought, but afterwards I know we were talking about the fact that for that kind of movie, you know, it seems like it's pretty straightforward. It's a prison film, and the guy's going to bust his wife out of jail, and you know, but it kind of veered off in lots of different little angles that I wasn't really expecting. I mean, we just were saying before, for a prison film, there wasn't a lot of prison action in there.
There's very little. And there's, sadly, ladies, there is no, you know, from prison film, a lady's prison, you know, a woman is locked up in prison. There was no
sexy shower scene.
There was, like, where are the cliches? There's got to be at least one tough, lizzo, prison guard
who teaches the poor, you know, what is it, the person who's been
persecuted
and wrongly convicted, teaches them the ways of the jail, and you know,
I think we've just written a whole new film of our own. I guess what this film is really about, it kind of is Russell Crowe's film. Mm. He's on the outside trying to get her out. You know, his wife is very ably played by Elizabeth Banks. I think she's a fantastic actress, but really, she's really not in much of the film. She's locked up, and it doesn't really go behind the scenes with her. It focuses strongly on Russell for 2.5 hours.
It was a long one.
It was long, and my feeling was for the first hour of setup, he was really slow going.
Mm. And they really did do that countdown of 3 years, 3 months, three days kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like it.
Did feel a little bit
like
3 years.
We felt like we went on that journey, that 3 year journey with them.
Lock me up in prison with Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, she was very good, but like you said, very like a kind of a bit player in this.
Yeah,
who
really
was playing a major, who was meant to be a major part of this story.
Nah.
But she, I think the one thing that I did quite like about it was that, obviously through makeup and dyeing her hair and all that sort of thing, and maybe even her losing weight, you really did see her change over that 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they drastically changed her from the beginning to the end. But I thought that was, you know, maybe on her behalf, that was her way of really kind of
trying to do what she could with a very
small
role.
Yeah, with a small role. Exactly.
I mean, once the actual prison break started happening, I loved it. I was along for the ride. There was lots of tension. Mm. There was lots of action. There was lots of twists and turns, and you didn't really know where it was heading, so it wasn't really predictable in that respect. But I really... So that was like, why didn't they just start it then?
Mm.
And there's still an hour and a half of film. It's still not shot.
And there was some interesting side characters in it as well. But, you know, Brian Dennehy playing his dad.
Yeah.
I think he spoke 12 words.
I think he
played strong and silent amazingly well.
He really did. Luckily, he's got very good screen presence.
And he emotes from the eyes. If he was on America's Next Top Model, he'd do so well because it all comes from the eyes, Carly. Yeah. But at one stage, I was like, are they trying to explain that his character is mute? Or that he is, you know, because he was like, I was sitting there going,
is nothing's he ever really, going
to
speak?
Yeah, and then...
When Russell says he's never spoken to his father for the last 2 years, he wasn't joking.
That's what he meant. But, you know, like, all that sort of stuff aside, it's a good movie.
It's solid.
That could have been really great.
Yeah.
But no one let it down. I mean, the story was quite involved. There's lots of layers.
It was written and directed by Paul Haggis, who is very well known for the film Crash.
Yeah.
And... I mean, I think one of the interesting things about this director and writer is that he is the only screenwriter to have... How do we explain this?
Mm.
So, the only screenwriter to have back-to-back Oscar wins for Best Film. So, first it was Million Dollar Baby, which was actually directed by Clint Eastwood. He was going to direct it. Paul Haggis was going to direct it himself. But, you know, when Clint says, I want to direct your film, you go, okay, Clint. And then the next year he won with Crash, and he also won Best Screenplay for that as well. So,
his credentials are there.
Oh,
so,
definitely.
You know you're going to get a good movie.
A solid movie.
Yeah, yeah. I just think, like a few things that we've pointed out, it's a bit too long.
Yeah.
And there needs to be a little bit more balance.
Yeah. And look, if you don't like Russell Crowe on screen, do not go and see this film. On the other hand, I think Russell has incredible charisma on screen. Mm. There is something about, and I love the way that he is not afraid of having a beer gut and looking really haggard. True. There are very few Hollywood movie stars that would let themselves look that ugly, and because he is all about character.
And he can pull it off.
He's still so impressive. Charismatic. Mm. And I just actually do enjoy watching him on screen. I think he's an amazing actor.
I think he's very good at separating what you think you know about him to what you see him play. You know, but he's not doing the whole, look at me, I'm acting.
Yeah, no. He's definitely in the character. So what are you going to give this out of 5? 5 stars.
I'd give it a 3, with the potential to even have another half in there. But I'm going to stick with the three and see how I go.
Well, we're going to be same. Oh. Yeah, I'm giving it a solid three out of five stars as well.
That wasn't planned.
No, people, this is spontaneous radio. We haven't planned a thing. So, though we have played, we've planned a few more movies to talk about. Yeah. So, actually, coming up next, we're going to review Tamara Drew, and a little bit later on in the show, we'll be reviewing the new documentary called Bear Nation. But before then, let's jump into some more music. This is Fader with The Temper Trap. You're on Pink Popcorn with Conrad and Kylie on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
This is Pink Popcorn with Conrad and Kylie. That was All Is Love, funny enough. Karen O and the kids. We both love that song.
I was trying not to sing along because I didn't want to scare anyone when we came back from the break. I was like, I always laugh like little kids.
You just scared everyone.
Yeah, I did.
That's from the film Where the Wild Things Are. So great song. I did just say we were going to talk about Tamara Drew next, but I can't wait to talk about Bear Nation. So I bumped it up on the schedule. Let's get straight into it. Bear Nation is a funny, fresh and forthright new documentary from the director of Small Town Gay Bar, and it explores the subculture of the male gay community that celebrates the hirsute and hefty.
That's a great line, isn't it? Yeah.
Self-professed bears talk about seeking acceptance and the process of coming out twice, once as gay and once as a bear, and bear lovers talk about their penchant for the burly and broad-shouldered.
That's very good.
I know, I didn't write that.
Yeah, but still.
I thought it was a pretty good synopsis.
Yes,
so
well done.
We've both had a chance to have a look at this. It is got a very limited screening, playing at Acme, actually. Mm-hmm. It was on last night, and there's one more screening next Friday night, the 11th of Feb at 9:30 p.m. So what can audiences expect? What did you feel about this film, Conrad?
I think we had a brief chat about it. You'd already seen it. I was going to obviously watch it. And you said to me you felt like there was, if you were a gay person, you kind of had a good knowledge of gay and lesbian culture, that you might not really get a lot out of it.
Yeah.
So I kind of was like, okay, that's interesting way. You know, that's interesting before I even kind of watched it. And about halfway through, I was like, yep. I kind of agree with this. You know, I kind of get what it is about. I get that sort of thing. But I must admit, I did learn little things as I went along. Like, there was a few more little things. And then I put it in context and I thought, okay, just because I know about this, I don't know necessarily if it would be a film that would teach... I don't know if it would... If straight audiences would get a lot out of it,
right.
But they'd definitely get something out of it. It's a documentary with lots of information and it's clever and funny, but there's also some other little things in there that are very gay-specific, I guess.
Look, if you had any interest in finding out more about bears, or maybe you're in the bear community, I mean, I think it is, it's amazing to have a documentary about this subject matter, because it is, even though, sure, they say it's a subculture within a subculture, it's still a pretty big community. And there's not really been any kind of documentaries that I know of specifically about bears.
Yep.
So it's great to see yourself, reflected on the big screen. And also, I do think some of those coming out stories, so they kind of, there's a lot of talking heads in this, but it is quite interesting where a lot of the men are saying, you know, I had this experience of, first of all, A, realizing I was gay, and B, realizing that I was a bear, and they are actually two different coming out processes.
Oh, the fact, I did love the stories where the guys were trying to define what is a bear, because all the guys, and all the guys look so different and everything. And I think that was the thing that, that kind of really engaged me right at the start. I really loved that kind of notion of people all belonging to this one group and one community, but they had such different thoughts and feelings on it, which makes it for a good documentary because it's getting you thinking right off the bat.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for my personal experience, because obviously I'm not part of the bear community, and the only really up close experience I've had with a bear was when I was at the Mardi Gras dance party once, and we were waiting to get in with the throng of thousands of party goers, and right behind me was a bear with a rather large frame who just was kind of, you know, resting in my inner back. So I felt like I got to know about bears a little bit.
Taking a break on you.
That's right.
But I think the one thing I do love, I mean, you know, gay culture is pretty complex and, exactly. and all the layers of it and everything. And like you said, it's lovely to see a film that represents a group of the gay community that doesn't necessarily get a lot of face value.
Yeah.
But it's also really cool seeing lots of different gay men really proudly talking about themselves and what they're into. And,
yeah.
And it's not just a sexual thing as well. Like, you could really see how it had shaped a lot of guys' lives as they were talking about it, and the acceptance of hanging out in a group of people who, I mean, it's that whole thing. You think, oh, coming out, you go to a gay bar, you know, you walk in, cool, everyone's gay, so it's going to be all great. But hearing these guys say that the next level for them was going to hang out with a group of other guys who were into the whole beer culture as well, and they finally found acceptance.
This definition of masculinity, and just because I'm gay, I'm not necessarily interested in twinks, or this kind of this stereotyped image that is in the mainstream about gay boys all being preened and pretty.
Yeah,
and that there is a whole cross section that are like, well, that's actually not. I'm not interested in that at all.
Yeah, and there was if you're into indie music as well, there's quite a lot of good interviews in there, and with Bob Mould, who's from the band Huskadoo. And so, like, that was another interesting level for me, because I kind of didn't know a lot about him, but I know his music and stuff. I also really liked how they went to London.
Yeah.
And they kind of started to show that it wasn't just this American phenomenon, and it's a movement.
It's a movement.
And I mean, we know Melbourne's got its own beer culture as well. And it's great. And but I think there's another documentary in there that would be just as... could delve more into it and kind of discover, talk about body image and what it means to be gay and not.
This is a good bear introduction 101.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, for me, I really loved the interview with Kevin Smith, who seem to talk about every week at the moment. he is not gay himself, but his brother is actually gay, and that's how he has kind of, he knows the filmmaker. They're really good friends, and in fact, he's the executive producer on this this project. And also Malcolm, the director, his last film, Small Town Gay Bar, which is an excellent documentary. Fantastic. If you go and catch it, go and catch it. Kevin Smith also was the executive producer of that, and that's kind of how he has worked in. So
Kevin Smith was brilliant, and
he's so funny,
including him in the film as a straight man who discovers beer culture and then finds this really amazing appreciation for it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was a very clever angle.
It's really, really, really clever. And he was apparently on the front cover of the Bear magazine.
He became a sex symbol.
I know. He never thought that was going to happen. So that in itself is hilarious.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know if this film is as good and as poignant as Small Town Gay Bar, but if you're interested in anything at all to do with bears, then I would definitely recommend going and checking it out.
Yeah, and if it's something that you don't know a lot about, or, you know, if you just want to see something a little bit different on at the moment, definitely head to Acme and go and check it out.
Yeah, so you can go Acme, just Google them.
Yep.
And find out the screening details. Or if you like, you can also SMS us. If you want more information on 0427 JOY949 or email us on air@joy.org.au. And if you're into Facebook, I'll put a link up on our Facebook page. We are looking a little bit measly with our fans at the moment. We've got a hardcore, dedicated couple of people who are following us on.
They'll get there eventually.
But you've got to start where you start.
Exactly.
So coming up next, we'll be talking about Tamara Drew. I know you just can't wait for that now.
Bring it on.
But in the meantime, this is The Streets of Paris by the Teenagers.
Joy 94.9.
This is Pink Popcorn with Conrad and Kylie on Joy 94.9. We're going to get stuck into our review of Tamara Drew. Tamara Drew sashays back into a little village of her youth, and life for the locals is thrown upside down. Tamara was once an ugly duckling, but she has been transformed into a devastating beauty with the help of plastic surgery.
Oh, right.
Yes, as infatuations, jealousies, love affairs, and career ambitions collide among the inhabitants of the neighbouring farmsteads, Tamara sets a contemporary comedy of manners into play using the oldest magic in the book, sex appeal.
Oh.
Sounds good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was.
Well, first of all, let me just frame this in context. I don't want to bitch and moan about, my life's so tough and I have to see so many movies and, oh, God, it's hard work. But this week, I've seen three movies that were all 2+ hours long.
Wow.
And for me, this film is, it's like, it is. It's a fantastic comedy of manners. It's a great little English film by a fantastic director, Stephen Frears, who, you know, I mean, he did High Fidelity, he did Dangerous Liaisons, he is, you know, he's a great filmmaker. Why does it have to be 2 hours? Why? I mean, the next 3 days was 2.5 hours. I also went to a sneak peek of Hereafter, the new Clint Eastwood film with Matt Damon, which we'll talk about on next week's show, which was 2.5 hours.
Wow.
And then to just top it off, the end of the week, to see Tomorrow Drew, which was 111 minutes, so not quite 2 hours.
And for the subject matter and kind of how you described it, it kind of sounded like it could have been a nice 90-minute
just in and out. Yeah, and kind of keep it fun and upbeat. And look, so I guess that being said, if I had only seen one film this week, I might have felt a little bit differently about it. It's beautifully played. The characters are fantastic. It is set at a writer's retreat in this little country, so I kind of dug that.
Right.
Being a writer myself, not a fiction. This is their fiction writers.
Right.
But, you know, being a screenwriter, and it's the same kind of process, obviously. So I kind of like that it was set at this writer's studio. And there is a small, man, this is, you know, struggle to find queer in anything mainstream. There's a very small character who is a lesbian fiction writer who has a couple of perla-like lines, but blink and you miss it.
Right.
So, you know, this film takes place over a whole year in this little village. So she's just kind of in the first season, like winter or summer or wherever it started.
So do you think it may have been intended to be part of a series or something?
No,
or?
I think that it followed the conventions. It's actually based on a graphic novel, which is pretty amazing, because when I think of graphic novels, I think of superheroes and cartoons and kind of vampires and all of this kind of thing. But it is really set about, you know, about this, the main character, this Tamara Drew, is a writer herself. She's a journalist and she wants to be a fiction writer. And so it does kind of play into those conventions. And there are some weird kind of cross-cutting moments and split screens, but it's done in a very non-action way. Right. It's done in a drama way. It's quite interesting, actually.
It sounds like a film that has the potential to be really interesting.
Yeah.
If it's got all the elements in place. So, actor-wise, it's got Gemma Arterton.
Which, she is fantastic. So, she plays the lead character. She was actually one of the best things about Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she's kind of
Jake Gyllenhaal's arms and then Gemma Arterton.
Well, even I would agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. Although not Jake Gyllenhaal's hair in that movie.
Yeah, what was going on with that?
Wrong. Anyway.
So, she is also, she was one of the Bond girl. She was in Quantum of Solace. Right. Was kind of her big break. But she's also done a slightly couple of edgier things. She was the lead character in The Disappearance of Alan's Creed.
Oh, I liked that. Yeah. Really, really, really liked that film.
Yeah, kind of dirty
and
grungy.
Unnerving and, yeah. I had a very strong gay subtext
theme
in that.
Yeah. Yes, but you don't want to give away anything.
Yeah, it's great. It's
go check it out. It's out on DVD, actually, now. Okay. So if you're interested in a bit of a UK indie kind of kidnap thriller, it's called The Disappearance of Alice Creed. And Gemma Arterton is very easy on the eyes, ladies. She plays this lead character, you know, gorgeously. There's also, all the actors, they're like British stalwarts. They're all fantastic. It's an ensemble cast. They all do a magnificent job.
Like the kind of film that, if you kind of reflect on everything else that's out at the moment, it's very unique. But it might not necessarily be the sort of thing that will appeal to a lot of people. But those sort of films seem to be definitely finding an audience at the moment.
I was the youngest person in the cinema.
I was trying to say that without,
I don't know, 30,
without being ageist.
30 years.
Yeah.
And I actually I've got absolutely nothing against that.
Not at all.
And I did actually quite enjoy it. It was a very easy way to while away a couple of hours. Sure. It was very, it was very easy. There was nothing, you know. I mean, actually, to be honest, it does kind of take a slightly darker turn as the film, lulls you into this kind of, sexy farce, and it's kind of funny and cute, and then it kind of does go to some darker places. So that's quite interesting. Look, there's a lot to like about this film. It's very affable.
Right.
Feel like it's a bit forgettable and maybe on DVD as well.
Yeah, right. And I was thinking that's the other thing with the whole English, with so many English films that come out, they're always quite serious and dark and dramatic and stuff. And then the comedy side of it, they love that really camp and kind of over-the-top comedy. So it kind of sounds like it settles in the middle, but is a nice film as well.
Yeah, it's hard to... Yeah, I have very mixed feelings about this, and I can't articulate it at the moment exactly. Can't quite put my finger on it. Maybe it is this genre tone. It's a little bit, it's a little bit unusual.
Mm.
I'm going to give it 2.5 stars out of 5. I'm probably being a little bit harsher on it just because of the week I had. So I might revise that next week. I don't know. But that's how I'm feeling at the moment. It's in limited release, so you can check out your cinema listings to find out where it's screened.
And let us know what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to hear someone else's opinion of it. So we've got a prize to give away, actually. We were just talking about Bear Nation, and we have got a double pass to give away thanks to the lovely folks at Acme. You do have to be available. It's next week, Friday, the 11th at 9:30 p.m. screening at Acme, and you will have to be able to pick up the ticket 45 minutes before the session. So if you're interested in going along and seeing that screening, we have one double pass to give away to our lucky Joy member. You can't have won anything in the last, is it 3 weeks or a month now?
Two weeks.
God, we're getting so generous.
Yeah.
And if you can phone us, we've actually got someone to help us. We've actually got support on the desk. So call and talk to Michael, the real person, on 1-300-JOY-949. The first person gets that double pass.
It's a great prize.
It's a great prize.
Do it.
So in the meantime, this is Hang With Me by Robin. You're on Pink Popcorn with Conrad and Kylie on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Look, I've had so much fun having you co-host with me today, Conrad. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks for letting me come on. I must admit, like I said right at the start of the show, seeing movies is fun, but getting to talk about them is even better.
I know. Well, I think in the future we might try and coerce you to come back and partake again.
I'd love to.
I know you're always one of the first people I go to when I want to talk about a film, because I know you would have seen it.
Yeah. Or if I haven't seen it, I want to see it.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of my friends, I really want to talk to films with them, but they haven't seen it, and you can't, I don't like giving away spoilers and, so all the rest of it. So it's very good fun.
Now, as you were talking about friends, it was a lovely segue to, Pride March is on tomorrow in St. Kilda, same place, same time, same great event, and it's still on, despite what you may have heard, regardless of the weather, rain, hail or shine, everyone can still get their pride on tomorrow. So the march starts at 2 o'clock, and Joy will be there broadcasting live. So either way, if you can't get down there, tune into Joy from midday tomorrow, and you can hear all about what's going on. But get down to Pride, show your face.
Yeah.
Yell at all the lovely people going along. Yell nice things.
Yeah. Yay, happy Pride.
Yeah, and go, woo.
Yeah,
and
love your poncho.
Yeah.
Your rain poncho. It's looking gorgeous.
You look amazing.
If you have a pink rain poncho, crack it out. Tomorrow will be the day. Actually, I think it's not even meant to rain tomorrow, actually.
I think it's just going to be a nice mild day, which, after the humidity and everything, everyone needs to get their gay on and get outside and come together and have a bit
of fun. I have walked in a couple of Pride marches where it's been stinking hot wearing a black t-shirt. So I would prefer the overcast, nice, cool weather. So everyone, see you down at Pride tomorrow.
Definitely.
And certainly drop by and say hi to the Joy 94.9 crew.
And when you see Joy walking down the street, give them an extra special yell.
A special yippee. So next week we will be talking all things films again, but in the meantime, it's Adam Todd is coming up with Bandcamp.
Yay, good music.
He always plays fantastic music, and I think he might have a couple of interviews.
He's actually got a very special interview, not to give too much away. Plan B, amazing.
So stay tuned, there's heaps more on Joy 94.9. I would like to thank everyone for listening in, thank Alan for being a fantastic producer and panel operator, and Michael on the front desk, and to you, Conrad, for joining me on Pink Popcorn today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.